This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
I want to start the class today with a quick quiz on the United Nations. The 76th session of the United Nations General Assembly is happening in New York City as we speak. Can you name three, at least three, of the six official UN languages? What is the leader of the UN called? Which country was most recently added as a member state? Name five countries that are permanent members of the United Nations Security Council. Let's begin. Jeff, can you answer number one? Name three of the six official UN languages? Well, the six official languages are Arabic, Chinese, English, French, Russian, and Spanish. Question number two, Jeff, can you answer what is the leader of the UN called? Everybody knows it's the Secretary General, duh. Oh, good job, Jeff. Can you answer question number three? Which country was most recently added as a member state? I'm trying to think. Was it South Sudan way back in 2011? Yes. Yes, it was. What about question number four? Can you name the five countries that are permanent members of the United Nations Security Council? I can. Let me answer. Go ahead, Jeff. Russia, China, France, the United Kingdom, and, ding, 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 the United States of America. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. We've seen it happen in the movies or TV, but we rarely see it in real life. Apparently, a suicidal man was on the roof of a building in New York, Yonkers to be exact, and he jumped to what would be his death. But he landed on another person. So he ended up killing someone. Is that manslaughter or murder? Can he be charged? It just seems like, wow, does that suck to be the guy walking on the street underneath the guy who jumped? Pretty much means you've had a bad day. It does bring to mind, though, I was thinking about it as I'm reading the story, I'm thinking about, so, you know, the old hypothetical question of, is it murder or not? You know, if someone jumps off a building and I fire a gun out the window, and as that person is passing by my window, the bullet hits him, let's say shoots him in his skull, and he, you know, dies instantly, is that murder on me? I don't know. I'm asking, can you be charged with that? I guess. I mean, we've seen instances where in California, for instance, two helicopters collided, and since they were in the air, one was a police helicopter and one was a news helicopter, and they crashed into each other, and those people in the helicopters died. And the reason that they were flying, one was obviously filming for the news, the television station, and one was the police helicopter. They had a police chase going on the ground. They charged the person who was evading police with those murders, and, you know, they allowed it. Is that a reasonable charge? I guess. You know, they wouldn't have been up there if he hadn't been evading police. So, I mean, it makes it a reasonable charge, I guess. But, you know, those are just interesting cases. And it's, you know, it's sad. The guy, you know, jumps off a building to end his own life, which is completely sad. And then he ends up, you know, landing on someone else at the bottom. And while it's fun to think about, it's not fun to actually have happen. Pretty sure you can quote me on that. So we got news from Boris Johnson and the United Kingdom. He obviously is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He has now claimed that supermarket shelves in the United Kingdom could be empty for months due to a huge lack of HGV drivers and soaring global gas demands. So the UK food shortages could damage plans in the months leading up to Christmas after last year's Christmas celebrations were halted amid the COVID lockdown restrictions. So they're saying now that these supermarket shelves could be empty for months? No, thank you. Something has got to be done, and this cannot bleed over into the United States of America, and I fear that it will. I mean, we're starting to get used to things that were always on the shelf not being there, right? You go into the grocery store and they're out of this, or they're short on that, or they'll have that next week. And we're starting to get used to that. Now, I know it's rare because we in America believe we could go into a Walmart and get anything we want 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for the most part, that's true, although prices obviously are beginning to rise everywhere. And that's good, right? It's good news, just the inflation, rising prices everywhere, and rising gas prices. I noticed driving in this morning, I stopped and I paid $2.61 a gallon. And I remember thinking, oh, well, that's not bad. And that's, you know, what am I doing? I'm thinking, I'm beating myself up now, thinking that $2.61 isn't bad for a gallon of gas. But I've paid more. And then as I'm driving the rest of my way to work, and I look at two of the big petroleum stations I pass, and they're all at $2.89. So I don't know if I, you know, got lucky and was able to pay the $2.61, or if this goes up. I'm going to be interesting to see how much it is when on my way home today to see if it's gone up and I just beat the price increase. But prices are going through the roof, and that's good. That's good, right? Right, of course it is. So the good news is that that's over there, across the pond. That's not here in America. It could never happen here or in any other countries around the world. It would just be there, over there at the United Kingdom. Yeah. And he, I guess, has a plan that is called Plan A and Plan B. Wow, that's some good political thinking right there. Plan A is what we're on now, he said, and it's a graduated series of steps, and we certainly don't want or expect to have to do anything like last Christmas, which is, you know, completely locked down. But so there, that's their plan now, is to not lock down and be short on food. So, man, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas from the United Kingdom. So as of this recording, and those of you listening live today know that it is the 22nd of September, 2022, first day of fall. Fun. I mean, I don't know what that matters, but I guess the air is supposed to cool down and make things better. But anyway, it's the 22nd of September, the first day of fall, 2021. And we still have not found the boyfriend of Gabby Petito. Brian Landry, he's out wandering around somewhere. They don't know where the heck he is. Hopefully, the TikTok detectives are on the case even more. We know that the amateur detectives had flooded TikTok trying to find Gabby when she went missing on the road trip. And over the past month, TikTok users have sifted through her and Landry's social media accounts for clues. And they turned the case into one of the most viral moments of the year. So apparently her Instagram, Gabby's Instagram, which had around 1,000 followers at the time of her disappearance, has more than 854,000 followers as of this article's writing, which was, a night or two ago. And the hashtag Gabby Petito on TikTok has over a half a billion views. So maybe they can find the guy. Let's find Brian. What the heck is TikTok doing? And that, we found her. We believe what we found her. Really sad. They did, they ended up, we now have found her. And the cause of death, we don't know specifically, but it's ruled a homicide. And so we'll know more as the autopsy continues. Really sad. And, now the boyfriend is missing. He hasn't said anything to anyone. It's, you make the argument of it's good that he hasn't said anything. It's possible that he didn't do it, but it doesn't look good. I mean, I guess it is possible that he didn't kill her, but it certainly doesn't look good. And now he's on the run, or, he would come out. If they find him, he's, what? I was just camping. I don't know what's going on. What, you mean I'm a person of interest? Yeah, you're a person of interest in it. So we'll see what happens with that case. However, I will say that people are a little wound up that, they say that while tips from the public can be useful for cracking a case, TikTok sleuths are now being accused of co-opting a traumatic episode for self-promotional content. Well, yeah, that's what the social media accounts are. Hello, especially the TikTok users and the answer, it all is. And it's not just specifically TikTok, but it's specifically TikTok now because those, that's the platform that was, finding Gabby. And so it's just, I love the authorities of, of course those tips can be helpful. Yeah. They pretty much found the area. It was the internet that found the area where you found her. So it was helpful. And co-opting a traumatic episode for self-promotional content. Say that to every attorney that shows their face on TV. That's exactly what people do. People co-opt traumatic episodes in life for self-promotional content. That's the story of life, my friends. Yeah. You can quote me on that. People do co-opt traumatic events for self-promotional content. That is life. In a completely non-related story, I have new merchandise at shop.blazemedia.com. If you would like that t-shirt, it is a Chewing the Fat t-shirt that has would ya, do ya, is it, with a large question mark. Chewing the Fat on it, and you can sport that and promote the show as you're wandering around listening to Chewing the Fat. You could wear your Chewing the Fat t-shirt, and when people say Chewing the Fat, you go, yeah, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. It's the show that you need to be listening to. In fact, that's what I'm listening to right now. And you can subscribe on any platform that podcasts are available, and you can subscribe and listen to the show daily. And then people could say, would ya? Do ya? Is it? Chewing the Fat, what is that? So you have an opportunity to support the show by getting that t-shirt. Completely unrelated, though, to what's happening with the Gabby Petito case. Completely unrelated. No way would I ever think of and dream about co-opting a traumatic episode of someone or something for self-promotional content. Wow, I'm embarrassed that you think I or someone else would do that. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately, and I'm down to one of my final Coke Zeros that are in the black can. It's very disturbing. So good. So good. I'm going to miss him. Okay, did you see where Willie Garson died? I mean, rest in peace, Willie Garson. He was 57 years old. And you think to yourself, wait, Who is Willie Garson? Why do I need to know about a Willie Garson? Because it's always, as we said yesterday on Chewing the Fat, it's always sad when someone dies, and you don't want anyone to die. But all deaths don't necessarily get the coverage that, you know, celebrity deaths do. But you think, Willie Garson, man, I need to know who that is. He's the guy from Sex and the City. And I was looking, he played his character on Sex and the City. You would absolutely know. When you see him, see a picture of him, you know exactly who he is. And in Sex and the City, he was Stanford Blatch, and he was their gay friend. And he's been in, I mean, he's a working fool. He's been in a number of series, and it's sad. And they didn't give any cause of death yet, but you know he was in Hawaii 5-0 as Jared Hirsch, and he's the list of his work on IMDb is huge, and he was in a number of movies, so it's very sad to see him go. But he is one of those guys that you really don't know who Willie Garson is, but when you see him, you go, oh, I love that guy. All right, and did you see where Adele, yes, I know, wipe that smile off your face. You're going to be so happy. Adele is making plans for a Christmas comeback. She's going to have a new album. She's going to be performing in Vegas. It's going to be huge. She's going to be on fire. She's got her new look. She's going to look great. That's just me being an Adele fan. And I see where she's all in love again. She's got the new boyfriend. You know, she got rid of the old hubby, and she's got the kid. But she's got the new boyfriend, Rich Paul. And they are Instagram official. So their affair and love is on center stage for the world because they're Instagram official. Awesome. And you know who else is in the news? Elvira. Yes, Elvira. And we got to talk a little bit about when you hear the story or anything having to do with Elvira, anyone that's, can think of, if you're me, anyway, I should just say, if you're me, all I can think of is the song, Elvira, my heart's on fire for Elvira. I mean, that song drove me insane. It played so much on the radio. But it is the Oak Ridge Boys. Now, that I'll get back to the Elvira story, which is a fascinating story. But the Oak Ridge Boys, they're still performing. They've been around for a million years. Now, so I go to the Oak Ridge Boys website. That would be oakridgeboys.com, by the way. And I look on their full discography. It says here, okay, the Oak Ridge Boys, official online discography, 1957 to 2021. Incredible. Been around forever. And they take you through their 57 to 66, 67 to 73, 74 to 87. Yeah, because all these years were so much different. 87 to 95, 96 to 2009, 2010 to 21. I mean, amazing. And if you look at their tour dates, you can go see them right now, as a matter of fact. And they'll be promoting their newest album, Front Porch Singin'. And the reason I'm sure that it's Front Porch Singin', and I would bet money that this is why, so that they can bring rocking chairs out on the stage and just sit in them, and they're going to perform in those. So it's just like a front porch. So it's going to be Front Porch Singin'. They don't have to jump around and dance around. They can just come out and be in their rocking chairs and give you a show. Guaranteed. But they're on tour, and if you want to see them, they're going to be in Branson, Missouri tonight, the 22nd of September. They're going to be in Branson, Missouri tomorrow, the 23rd of September, and they're going to be in Kansas City on Friday, the 24th. And then they're coming to, oh my gosh, they're going to be in Arlington, Texas, right around the corner this weekend. Huge. I mean, they're on tour all of the Front Porch Singin', the Oak Ridge Boys. Just amazing that these guys are still around. They've been around forever. I mean, they're no Adele, but I think you know what I'm saying. So anyway, back to Elvira. The reason that she's in the news is that apparently she's been living with her girlfriend for the past 19 years, and she just finally is going to tell everybody in her memoirs, the memoirs of the Mistress of the Dark. Actually, I'd like to talk to her. She's had a fascinating life, and I should reach out and talk to her about her memoirs. Yours cruelly, Elvira. So anyway, Elvira, in her book, talks about how she met her girlfriend of what has now been 19 years. And she talks about how their relationship began in a Gold's Gym in Hollywood. And originally, she thought her girlfriend was a guy. And she said that, "I saw this tan, dark, brooding trainer. And then I realized in the ladies' room that her bad boy was really a bad girl." And they soon became close, you know, platonically, of course. But then after her marriage, she was alone and just, you know, being bummed out forever. And then her friend, you know, the trainer, showed up at her door. Wearson showed up at Elvira's door holding a trash bag full of her belongings, looking sad and bedraggled. And she'd split from her longtime partner, spent some time in rehab, and now had no place to go. And we lived together and took care of one another through really challenging times. And in the process, something began to shift. And then one night, after we'd gone out to a movie, I felt a sudden desire to kiss Wearson. I think I was even more surprised. What the hell was I doing? I'd never been interested in woman as anything other than friends. I felt so confused. This just wasn't me. I was stunned that I'd been friends with her for so many years and never noticed how our chemistry was. I soon discovered that we connected sexually in a way I'd never experienced. I realized I was falling in love. They've been together for more than 19 years. So congratulations to Elvira. So, you know, talking about the Oak Ridge Boys and being around forever got me thinking about the Stones again, and they're getting ready to go on tour. The 26th, 4 days, they're going to be in Atlanta, and at the Dome. But then I see where they performed a little private show in Massachusetts for New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. And the guest list included the governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, Jay Giles band singer Peter Wolf, Moderna chairman Nobar Efan, all of whom had to show proof of vaccination to attend. So I guess they set up a big tent-like structure set up on the stadium field, which is normally, you know, obviously home to the New England Patriots. And they dedicated it to Charlie Watts, and they did their set list here. I don't know, it was like 300 people that were there, you know, special invitation guests. And they led a chant of Watts' name. They took a swig of beer. Ronnie Wood said, hey, we're praying for you, Charlie. We're playing for you. Steve Jordan was on drums, who they announced would be the stand-in for Watts for their forthcoming tour. And they also covered Shylight's Troubles a Comin', played their 2020 single Live in a Ghost Town live for the first time. Pretty incredible that these guys are still performing and doing a thing. But I was thinking, like, their tour is called the No Filter Tour, the Stones 2021 USA No Filter Tour. It could be just me, but I was kind of thinking that they should call it Dead Man Drummin'. Just a thought is all on my part. You know, I love the idea of the Rolling Stones tour, Dead Man Drummin'. No? It's just me? All right, fine. We'll be right back. right, did you know that more than 80 cultures still used whistled language to communicate over long distances by simplifying words syllable by syllable into whistled melodies? Researchers are trying to decode how bottleneck dolphins, who are, you know, of course, highly social mammals with the second largest brain relative to their body size after humans, well, no, they communicate after leveraging insights from studies looking at how humans' whistled speech is structured and organized. And I guess this model may provide new algorithms for helping understand how dolphins whistles and encode information. All right, so, on the surface you think, well, that's kind of cool, I guess. Then you talk about, you know, the history of whistling and, you know, whistling at work just isn't a distraction. More than 80 cultures have employed whistling for their native languages to communicate. And it's, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. But then we think, well, we want to, you know, communicate with the bottlenose dolphins and try to, A, communicate with them, which I guess would be okay, you know, kind of cool. And B, we want to know what they're saying. What for? Do we really need to know what the hell a bottlenose dolphin is saying? I don't think so. Do we want to know the bottlenose dolphin is thinking about taking care of a little bottlenose dolphin business with that dolphin over there? You know, that dolphin over there is looking hot. I mean, we know that they tend to try to have business with humans from, you know, multiple times in the pool. At SeaWorld, that's happened. When people get in the water with the bottlenose dolphins, they try to have a quick little bottlenose dolphin business moment. So does it matter what they say? I don't know. I guess they already use AI to help track dolphins in, you know, their videos, and they identify the dolphin calls. But, I don't know if they can decipher everything that the whistle communication. I guess we hear it all and we listen back to it and figure out, well, they did this when they did this. So, you know, we're spending an awful lot of money to figure out what a bottlenose dolphin is whistling to another bottlenose dolphin. Why? Not real sure that it will help us in any way. But, you know, if you want to do that, go ahead. Have fun. Because when it comes down to it, they're just, you know, mammals swimming in the sea. I don't know. We're still the human on the planet. Okay? We're still the rulers of the planet. Oh, no, we're not, Jeff. Yeah, we kind of are. And animals just kind of revert back to, you know, how things go. So do humans. They sure do. We fight all the time. I know. I saw where in Canada they talked about how a goat and a bear got into a fight. And the goat wins. Nice. I know the mountain goat has not taken any of the bear. Not taken any of that. So they got into a little, fight. And the billy goat jabbed the bear with his horns. And that took care of that right now. Done. I win. Get out of here. This is my mountain. And in the story, it even says, in a rare turn of events, the mountain goat not only defended itself from becoming a meal, but was able to kill the attacking bear with its dagger-like horns. Yeah, no kidding. So they did the necropsy of the female grizzly bear, and it suggests that she was killed by a goat after the horns pierced the bear's armpits and neck. Yeah, no kidding. The grizzly bears, you know, went to attack because she was pissed at the billy goat and thought she'd either eat the billy goat or just get rid of it because she couldn't stand it anymore. It was too whiny. The whiny billy goat's up there, but the billy goat was having none of it. You don't mess with the billy goat, man. Now, the bear wasn't that big, right? The bear was like 154 pounds. So a hiker came across it and said, hey, it's a dead bear. And then they airlifted it out. Because they didn't want it to attract other predators. That's Mother Nature. That's what happens. Animals die. Other animals eat them. That's how they live. We know better. We know better as humans. Anyway, that's my billy goat bear story. You know, sometimes a headline is better than the actual story. We know that. I mean, we see that and hear that and read that all the time here on Chewing the Fat. But I see this headline, woman found dead in freezer. Okay, well, I like the sound of that. Not because it's a fascinating story, not because I'm a fan of finding someone in the freezer. But we know now that the woman was an ex-LA sheriff's detective. And again, sad. She was 87 years old. She was found dead inside a freezer in the garage of her Southern California home. She was a retired homicide detective, and she'd worked with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department for 27 years. And 11 of those was with the Homicide Bureau. She retired in 1990. So, I mean, she was a hardworking detective for a lot of years. And then she had a number of years that were pretty good. Well, she's living with her daughter, and somebody asked the police to go check and see if she was okay because they hadn't heard from her in a while. And the daughter gave inconsistent statements about her mother's whereabouts when police stopped by and wondered where she was. They said the house was had a foul odor. It was the daughter was disheveled, and it seemed like maybe there was a hoarding issue. So the daughter has got a little problem, right? And well, or maybe the mother ended up being a hoarder, the retired officer. I don't know. But they found her in the freezer. It was working in the garage, so I'm not sure if that's where the odor was coming from. I thought if you froze it, you didn't get the odor, but I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe the odor, it appears, was from the hoarding issue. So it was the one person who asked to have the police come by said that it was like one day she's your grandmother and the next day nobody hears from her. Oh, okay. Now, no arrests have been made. And, you know, they're obviously, you know, busy investigating what was happening. But you pretty much guess that she was, you know, she died. If they don't find that the daughter actually killed her, which sounds like that probably didn't happen. It didn't say that it looked like there were signs of foul play. And the lady body in the freezer was horrifically torn up. No, it didn't sound like that. So, you know, maybe she just died. And the daughter, being a hoarder, you know, puts her into the freezer, doesn't know what else to do. And, you know. I'm sure that's the case. But again, back to the headline issue. That's the headline. It makes me sucks me in. That's what the headline is supposed to do. Good job, headline writer, because it worked. Another headline reeled me in. Boeing investigating empty tequila bottles on future Air Force One. Okay, I'm interested. Really? I mean, that's true, but they won't comment on it. And they're making the new Air Force Ones. And they found, apparently, it was reported by the Wall Street Journal, although Boeing, again, hasn't commented. Apparently, they found on one of the planes that is, you know, to serve as the next Air Force One, a couple of what they call small, empty tequila bottles. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if it was, you know, a fifth, an eighth, just a drinking tequila bottle like you get on airlines. I don't know. But according, you know, there's no drinking on any of the properties. This was in San Antonio facility, and they won't confirm it. They're saying, but I mean, the workers, somebody is dumb enough to drink tequila on Boeing's property where there isn't supposed to be any alcohol and then leave the bottles there, does seem a little suspicious. Like, did it really happen? Or is it a setup? Or did it really? Do they have stupid enough employees that something like that really happened? I mean, this deal for Air Force One, the Air Force One's deal, they did modify these planes. It's only costing us $3.89 billion. So $3.9 billion to get this redone. So don't worry about it, okay? This is a personal matter, all right? It's related to the Halo Project, the VC-25B program. Don't worry about it, okay? Bug off. We're not going to talk about it. But if people are drinking while they're working on these planes, that's an issue. I mean, we've had the problem with the 737 MAXs. We've had the problem with the 787s. Boeing has had a little bit of problem over the past few years. So perhaps finding booze bottles on any airplane that's being made by Boeing, but specifically planes that are supposed to be, you know, future Air Force One planes, that's a little bit of an issue. And perhaps we need to have that investigated, but maybe it's just me. You see where the Boston's famous skinny house has now sold for a pretty good price. I mean, the headline is, you know, skinny house sells for fat price. Okay, I'm in. That's kind of like almost, you know, headline Wednesday. So the home sold in August for $1.25 million. Well, no, I'm sorry. It listed in August for $1.2. It sold this week in September for $1.25. A little bit more than they were in the asking price. So apparently they got multiple offers. It's a four-story home built in 1862. It's according to the plaque on the outside of the building. It's about 1,165 square feet. For over $1 million? No, thank you. It's about 10 feet wide at its widest point, and narrows in the back to 9.25 feet. Has two bedrooms, one bathroom, includes a private deck with a view of Boston Harbor. That's where you get your money. And the home does not have a front door. Instead, residents enter through a side door. It sold a few years ago, 2017, for $900,000. It's kind of a cute little thing. And I guess since you have the view of the Boston Harbor, and you look at it, I don't know, I guess you have to go up to the top to see the Boston Harbor, because it looks like it has three stories, or at least two with a little walk-up thing. But for over $1 million for this joint, okay, if you say so, I'm glad you bought it for $1.25 million. And I want you to know that it's important that you bought it. Good for you. I see where you remember the mansion we talked about in L.A. called The One? And it's now, you know, they said at one time it was worth $500 million. And now it defaults on a $100 million debt. So they're going to have to sell it. I mean, it's going to be repossessed. Okay. If you say so. I mean, it's a beautiful place. It's up on the, top of the hill. It's gorgeous. It's pitched the 105,000 square foot home. That's a little bit more than the Boston skinny house. It has 7 pools, 50 car garage, 10,000 bottle wine cellar. Has its own nightclub. It's the largest and most expensive urban property in the world. That's what it was promoted as, The One. And it's expected to come on the market for $500 million, according to the original video. Yeah, but there were a lot of delays and complications, and one thing led to another. And now, you know, you got to pay your bills. And sure, you borrowed that $82.5 million. Sure, you borrowed that to continue building the home, but you know, we really would like our money, and I'd like to renegotiate my deal, because I know you think I owe you $110 million now, but yeah, I'd like to kind of renegotiate that. Yeah, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. So there's still according to them, there's a complicated punch list left on the property, and it's not ready for market. I love that's house builder speak right there. There's a complicated punch list left. I can't even say it. A complicated punch list left. But we're going to try to get to that right away. So if you just, you know, give me a few hundred million right now, we can finish this up for you. It's a beautiful place, and it's going to end up just being, you know, a dump. It's going to be, that was going to be a beautiful place, man. It was going to be gorgeous. I know. I'd like to have it. It's one of those places that you kind of, I'm sure, putting it together and building it, he hoped that someone like, I don't know, Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk would get it. In fact, probably at the time he started building this, Elon hadn't said he was going to move out of his house yet. So he was still living out there, and he owned like four or five houses out there. So he was probably hoping that, well, maybe Elon will just consolidate to the one. But no, that's not going to happen. And so it's not going to happen for Elon. It's not going to happen for Jeff Bezos. So I don't know who gets it now. Maybe Jay-Z jumps in and pays a little cash for it. I mean, I don't know. I know, you know, there's all kinds of properties out there selling for 25 and 30 million in Hollywood. This is in the Hollywood Hills, but are you gonna pay 30 million for a beautiful home, or are you gonna go pay, you know, 200 million on a place that's not even done? No thank you. And have to spend another 100. If you could get that place for 300 million, it'd probably be worth it, right? You give him $200 million, let him pay off his debts and take the place off his hands, and then finish up that complicated punch list of what's happening that needs to be done at your home. And then that would take you probably another $100 million. So you can get the place for $300 million. I can get you in here for $300 million right now. We'll get you in here. We'll pay off his debts for a couple hundred million. And then we need another $100 million to finish off this complicated punch list of things that need to be done. And we'll get that movie theater taken care of. We'll get that bowling alley taken care of. We'll get that wellness center and that gym put together. And, of course, I know you want that putting green. And we've got the beauty salon and the juice bar and the tennis courts and the, you know, the 20 bedrooms and the 8 bedrooms over there. That's for the staff, not for you. And a guest house and the 6 elevators. And we've got the library and the cigar room and the candy room. Yeah, we can get you in here for $300 million right now. What do you think? We start backing up the trucks? I mean, maybe Google will buy it. Maybe Google will buy the one. I know they just dropped $2.1 billion on a building, the St. John's Terminal in Manhattan. $2.1 billion. It's going to serve as the anchor for Google's new Hudson Square campus. Nice. Very nice. About time. They should own, I mean, one of those buildings in Manhattan should be the Google building. I mean, it should be. Hello. I don't know why it's not right now. But they plan on building upon their existing investment of more than $250 million just this year on the New York campus present. Look, the CFO, Ruth Porat, the CFO for Alphabet and Google, wrote that Google has been fortunate to call New York City home for more than 20 years. During which time we've grown to 12,000 employees. New York's vitality, creativity, and world-class talent are what keep us rooted here. It is why we're announcing today that we're deepening our commitment to New York and intend to purchase the St. John's Terminal in Manhattan for $2.1 billion, which will serve as the anchor, as I said, to our new Hudson Square campus. That is so special. And maybe they could buy the one out on the West Coast. Maybe Zuckerberg could buy the one. I don't know. I mean, they're having a big problems as it is. I mean, we know now that they're in trouble. They are actually looking to make people like them. Wait, what? Yeah. They've got problems, and we know that they've got problems, right? I mean, we know that. And they're trying to defend their image. I mean, they've had their internal meeting in January that said, hey, we've got to show people positive stories about Facebook. Yeah, that'd be nice if there were any positive stories about Facebook. I mean, we have the big Facebook story where they're shielding millions of VIP users from moderation protocols, which just pisses the regular you and me's off. Yeah, I know. So apparently now they're going to investigate. They're known as CrossCheck or XCheck, which protects the celebrity users from moderation, amid concerns that the social media giant purposely misled the board about its rules. Well, of course it did. Hello? I mean, they're already saying that, well, the recent investigations by Wall Street Journal contain deliberate mischaracterizations and assign false motives to employees. Well, welcome to it, Facebook. How you like it? Yeah, it's different when it comes back, right? When the chickens come home to roost, it's a little bit different. So here's an idea. How about you just let everyone play by the same rules? And then you report that we're just going to let everybody play by the same rules. And you let us be in charge of us. How about that? Is that too much to ask? I think it is probably, but thought I would ask anyway. All right, I'll leave you with the story of the lady from, well, we don't know where she's from. We know this is taking place in Croatia, but Croatian police and the public have joined forces to hunt for clues surrounding this woman who was found injured on a remote beach with no recollection of her name or background. Wait, what? Yeah, the mystery of the blonde woman. It's a Hardy Boys. The mystery of the blonde woman on the beach. In her, oh my gosh. No, never mind. I'm not going to go there. The mystery of the blonde woman on the beach. The Hardy Boys. In her 60s, speaks fluent English, has spread around the world. Authorities have yet to establish her identity. It's been 9 days since she was found. So the fishermen spotted her shouting for help while sitting on a jagged rock on an island. And which is a, you know, part of a tourist destination there. She had bloody facial injuries, was taken to the hospital. She's in stable condition. She spent the night sitting on the rock in a location that was so remote that rescuers had to hike 2 miles to reach her. And that's after they saw her. So we don't even know, you know, I guess the fishermen would have seen her before then if she was there. But, you know, we're guessing that that's she showed up and only had to be on this rock for a month, but her backpack was found some distance from where she was spotted. It contained mosquito spray, no wallet. Well, the wallet was there, but just no identification or money. That's it. Tips have been coming in from around the world, but they're looking at them, but they really don't know who she is. Several people on social media have said, yeah, that looks like someone that I know. It might be the lady missing from Canada. One salesperson said that this woman visited her kiosk and spoke Croatian. So tourists said they met her on September 9th and described a conversation. All right. She told us about how she travels, that she's retired. Acquaintances are still working. We talked about vaccinations. The lady did not want and was afraid that she would have to quarantine when she returned. The tourist also said that the woman revealed that she was from Slovakia and that she turned off her phone and discarded the SIM card to avoid a 14-day quarantine when she went back home. She only had her backpack and traveled the area by bus and train. That's very strange. She was in the area. It was extremely inaccessible part of the bay. As you know, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know who she is. Nobody has owned up and said, yeah, that's my mom. That's my grandma. That's my sister. Nope, that's my wife. Nope. We're just taking the word of somebody at a kiosk that this was, you know, yeah, I waited on her and we talked about, you know, we talked about her travels. Did ya? So anyway, if you're looking for someone and you don't know, you know, where they are and the person that you're looking for is a 60-year-old blonde woman, I mean, take a look. This might be her.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.